reading that right, the guy that weighs the most is going to talk about fasting today. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Welcome those that are here and those that are online. It's good to have, maybe not necessarily this morning, but we're seeing more and more come back every week. And that's a good thing as we can see each other in person and build each other up. And now we're continuing our series focusing on spiritual disciplines. And that's what this series has been all about. We've been looking at Matthew chapter 6 and thinking about disciplining ourselves for godliness. Working on our personal relationship with God, doing things that help draw us closer to our Heavenly Father. I grew up hearing phrases or several phrases that were very similar. Things like call Bible things by Bible names or do Bible things in Bible ways or speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. And I believe those phrases. Maybe you grew up hearing those phrases, maybe you didn't, but I personally love those ideas that we want to be a people of the book, a people that love Scripture, that love to learn from Scripture and to be trained by Scripture. A people who truly believe that those prophets who wrote down every book of the Bible, both old and new, were carried along by the Spirit of God, that these things were wrote down for our learning and for our instruction and training in righteousness, so that we should do the things that we find in Scripture, that we should be the kind of people that God, through Scripture, is calling us to be. So I believe, I truly believe, that we should speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent and do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. I believe all of that, and I grew up believing all of that. But you know, of course, there are biblical practices that we don't talk a lot about. There are probably several that we don't talk about or practice, but one of the ones that comes to the top of my mind is that we spend very little time talking about and very little time doing is that spiritual discipline of fasting, the biblical practice of fasting. Did you know that fasting, even though it's mentioned many, many times in both the Old and the New Testament, even though we can read many examples of people fasting, it was only commanded to be done on the Day of Atonement. But it was voluntarily done by Moses and by David and by Mordecai and Ezra and Nehemiah and Daniel and Paul and Barnabas and for 40 days by Jesus. And fasting literally means not to eat food, to spend a period of a time abstaining from food. And people in the Bible did it for lots of different reasons. Sometimes they did it as an act of repentance. Sometimes they did it when they were praying for someone else. Maybe they were sick. Maybe they were hurting, and they would spend time praying and fasting. Or maybe they would do it before they started a big endeavor or a mission. But before they started something new, they would spend time praying and fasting. But maybe that's not where we should start our discussion. Maybe we shouldn't start our discussion there where why they did fast. Maybe we should start our discussion on why don't we fast? Why don't we fast? And maybe you do. Maybe you do or maybe you don't. Maybe it's something you've done from time to time but maybe you haven't made a habit of it. Maybe there's a medical condition that tells you you can't fast for long periods of times. But generally, as a church, at least in my lifetime, we don't do really well with fasting. We have lots of potlucks, but I have fairly, maybe ever, have ever seen a church fast or prayer time. We're really good at feasting, just not so much at fasting. And why is that? Why don't we fast? In our minds, and again, this is just my opinion, if you're like me, the number one reason is that we really like food. I really like food. I enjoy eating, and something about fasting sort of seems like it's disdaining food, saying food isn't good or we don't like it, but really nothing could be further from the truth. Fasting isn't about a disdain for food. It's really about a love for food. It's a confession that food is good, but God is better. Fasting is a confession that God is good, but fasting is better. The only thing better than nourishment is the one who created it. You just think about taste buds. How amazing is it that we have taste buds? I guess we could have all sorts of different ways to ingest nutrients into our bodies that didn't involve tasting them, rolling them over our tongue and enjoying the flavors that we can taste and enjoy. But fasting says that God is better. The creator of those foods is better. Fasting is a way to remind our hearts that God is good, or that food is good, but it's not our master. That we are not slaves to our appetites. We are bondservants of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is our master, and that food is not. Food is good, and it's enjoyable, but any good thing has the potential to become an ultimate thing in our hearts. And that becomes idolatry. Idolatry is when a good thing becomes an ultimate thing. When we take a good thing and we say, I can't live without that, there's the potential that it becomes ultimate. And food can become that. So many things can become that. So many things that we have a physical or emotional appetite for can become ultimate things in our heart. Fasting is a good way for us to say food is good, but God is better. I have an appetite for food, but I have a greater appetite for God. I'm not a slave to food. I'm a slave to Jesus. So maybe one reason we don't like to fast or fast very often is because we really like food. Maybe another reason is we don't see the practical purpose for fasting. What is the purpose? When you talk about prayer, we can understand the practical purpose of prayer. You talk about Bible study, we understand the practical purpose of Bible study. We talked a few weeks ago about giving money to the poor. We understand the practical purpose of giving to the poor, but what's the practical purpose of fasting? Well, if we're honest, we don't just eat our daily bread or our daily calories. We don't just eat because we have to. Sometimes we eat for comfort. Not just for enjoyment, but for comfort. And comfort's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing if it becomes an addiction. And if we're honest, a lot of us are addicted to comfort. We're addicted to safety. We're addicted to things being predictable. We're addicted to not hurting and not suffering. We're addicted to not even being uncomfortable. And fasting helps us break that addiction to our comfort. Again, it's not bad to be comfortable, but if you had to choose between God and comfort, what would you choose? If you had to choose between God and safety, what would you choose? If you had to choose between God and whatever, what is it that you would choose? That is what spiritual disciplines are all about. Spiritual disciplines are forcing us to make the choice before we have to make the choice. I may never be put in a circumstance where I have to choose God or comfort or God or safety. But spiritual disciplines, fasting, is a way for me to say, I choose God. I choose God over my own comfort, over myself. It's a way for whatever time you fast to say, I'm choosing God over my own comfort. Yes, I could eat that biscuit or I could have that piece of pie. I could choose pie and it would make me feel good and comfortable and safe. But there are times when I need to say no. In fact, the Hebrew word for fasting is about putting your hand literally over your mouth and saying no. I'm not going to eat that now. I'm choosing God over comfort, and for no other reason than to break my addiction to comfort and to remind my heart that God is more valuable to me than my own comfort. And I think number three reason why we don't fast is that we're not commanded to fast. Again, the only commandment was for the Day of Atonement, and Jesus was our once and for all a sacrifice of atonement. So we're not commanded to fast, but as a reminder, neither were all of those mentioned in the beginning. Neither were Moses or David or Ezra or Nehemiah or Paul or Barnabas or Jesus. Jesus wasn't commanded to fast for 40 days. Jesus chose to fast for 40 days. And Paul and Barnabas, they weren't commanded to fast. They chose to. These men and women, these children of God, God's covenant people for thousands of years have chosen at various times for various different reasons to spend a period of time, whether it's long or it's short, that's really beside the point. They voluntarily chose to spend time not eating and instead pray, trading their feasting time for fasting time, trading their time indulging their appetites with humbling themselves in prayer. And that's the real question. If we're not commanded to, why would we do it? Because so many times, isn't that what we want to know? Like, what do I just have to do? We call those things salvation issues. What are the salvation issues? What do I have to do? And if I don't have to do it, why should I waste my time? If I'm not commanded to do it, why should I do it? We just want to do the bare minimum. But that's not really how relationships work, is it? If we know there is something that could take our relationship, whether it's with your spouse or your children or your neighbor, if we know that there is something that can take it to another level, to make it more deeper with them, that you help or help you be a better spouse or a friend or a parent, you do that, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to just do the minimum, to just do the things you're required to do, only do the things that you're commanded to do. We would want to take that relationship with other people in our lives to the next level. And I think the same should be true with our relationship to God. So if we're not commanded to, what would motivate us to spend a little time in prayer and fasting? And I think that's Jesus' point here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, and we'll start there. Jesus says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." Every spiritual discipline, every spiritual practice has not only the possibility to draw us closer to God, it can also be perverted to serve our own desires. And that's what Jesus has been talking about in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we've been talking about this entire series. He said, when you practice your righteousness, you have this opportunity to be seen by your Father. When you give, you have this opportunity to be seen and rewarded by your Father, but you also have this opportunity to be seen by others. You also have the opportunity to sound the trumpet and say, "Look at me. I'm so generous. I'm super just and I'm super fair. I'm a good guy." And you have this opportunity to be seen by them, or you have this opportunity to be seen and rewarded by your Father. And when we pray, again, we have this opportunity to be drawn closer to your Father, but you also have this opportunity to do it, to be seen by others. And Jesus says, with your fasting, he says here's how the hypocrites do it. And again, hypocrite means actor. These spiritual actors would put on gloomy faces and they would look all sad and somber and they would go about. So people would say, "Wow, look at those Pharisees over there. They're fasting. They're such a pious people. They've given up and sacrificed for God because they love him so much." But they were doing it to be seen by others. And that's really the problem here. It's not about the practice, because there's a good way to fast and there's a bad way to fast. But there's a good way to pray and there's a bad way to pray. There's a good way to give and there's a bad way to give. It's not about how you do it. It's about why you do it. It's not about the practice. It's about the pursuit. And Jesus says the hypocrites, their pursuit is the praise of people. Their pursuit is not the presence of their Father. It's not the pleasure of their Father. It's the praise and admiration of people. They're doing it to be seen. And Jesus says, you cannot be that kind of people. The Pharisees would practice fasting twice a week, on Mondays and Thursdays. Jesus doesn't criticize their frequency. He doesn't say, "Don't be like the Pharisees. They fast way too much." He doesn't criticize the duration. He doesn't say, "Don't fast for the whole day. That's too long of a time." He doesn't criticize their frequency or their duration. He criticizes their motives. The practice, it's not so much about the practice so much as it is about the pursuit. It's not about how you fast. It's about why you fast. What are you pursuing? And just like with their giving and their praying, they were pursuing admiration. They were pursuing other people, seeing and praising them. And again, Jesus is saying, that cannot be the way that you fast. And look what he says in verse 17. But when you fast, and I think we should stop right here for a second. But when you fast, notice it's not if you fast. It's when you fast. Jesus assumes this is what you're going to do as my disciples. He doesn't say, now listen, it's going to be inappropriate for my disciples to fast. I think he knows and he understands there's going to be times when you're going to pray and when you're going to fast, not as a command, but as something you need to do. He says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others. In other words, just like he said with your giving, hide it. Hide it so other people don't see it. Practice righteousness in secret. Just like he said with prayer, go into your room, shut the door, and pray in secret. He says, hide your fasting. Pretend like you're not fasting. Anoint your head. Wash your face. Don't disfigure your face. Go around with a smile. Don't make it obvious to other people that you're fasting, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. Again, it's not about how you fast. It's about why you fast. It's not about how long. Now, sometimes that's the question, is how long am I supposed to do that for? The day, the afternoon? There's just no commandment. There's no rule book for this. Some people ask, can I fast from something besides food? I would say technically no. The word fasting literally means to say no to eating. But can you give up something, abstain from certain things in order to pursue God? Yes. In fact, I think we ought to. We should put our phones down from time to time. We should turn off our TV from time to time. Turn off the news. Do away with social media. Step away from those things for a while. And whether you call that a fast or not, it's not about how you do it. It's about why you do it. It's not about the practice. It's about the pursuit. What are you pursuing? In this case, we're talking about food, but Jesus doesn't give rules on duration. You could go from sun up to sunset. I'll eat breakfast before the sun comes up, and I'll eat dinner when the sun goes down, but I'm going to spend the entire day fasting and praying. The duration and the frequency are up to the individual. Completely voluntary. It's about the pursuit. And Jesus says, there's great reward. Just like with praying and just like with giving, there is reward in doing this in secret and secretly disciplining yourself and secretly training yourself, secretly abstaining from certain things, things that you really enjoy. But you're going to abstain from them because your relationship to your Father is more important. Jesus says, your Father. Again, it's your Father who is in secret. He will see in secret. And he will reward you. There is a reward in fasting. And I think we need to stop there and acknowledge that. There is a reward in this. Again, he's not saying he's going to reward you with eternal life. He's not saying if you fast, you're going to be saved. That's not what Jesus is saying. I think it's all about presence and the pleasure of our Father. Knowing that God is pleased with us. That's why we do things to make relationships better. And fasting, like prayer, is predicated upon our relationship with the Father. And we are reminding ourselves, you know what, I'm not going to eat desserts this week. Or maybe I'm going to skip lunch today. I'm going to go without this or that because my relationship with the Father is more important to me than these things. And I want to focus on that relationship with God rather than indulging in my appetites. I want to point out something that's not in this text, but I think it's important. That just like we talked about with prayer last week, your relationship to God and your relationship to others are inseparably linked. Just like Jesus said, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We talked about that last week. And the same is true here with fasting, if we go through these practices in order to draw closer to God, but we're really not working on our relationship with other people, then we are fasting in vain. I want us to look at a text from Isaiah and what he said to the people of his day, hundreds of years before Jesus. In fact, I can hear, though, Jesus saying these exact same things. And I think what Jesus is saying about hypocrites of his day echoes what Isaiah said about the people of his day. Isaiah chapter 58, and we'll pick up in verse 3. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Why are we fasting? And God doesn't seem to reward us or bless us, and it doesn't seem like God really cares. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? It's about what you're seeking. These Pharisees and hypocrites of Jesus' day were fasting, but what they really weren't pursuing wasn't God's presence or God's pleasure. It was their own appetite. Their own appetite for appreciation, their own appetite for acknowledgement. And Isaiah says, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all of your workers. You're mistreating the people that work for you. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. If you are fasting, yet you're mistreating the people in your life, you're fighting and you're quarrelsome and you're oppressing people, God doesn't hear that. God doesn't appreciate your fast. Because you gave up food and yet you're taking advantage and hurting people? Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Just because you're going through all the motions, just because you're going through the whole ritual, just because you've got sackcloth and ashes and you pretend to be all humble or sad and you give up this and you don't eat, you think I'm going to be pleased by this? Is not this the fast I choose? Here's God's fast. Here's the fast that God chooses. And listen to what God says. This is the way that he wants them to fast, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and to not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. When you do these sorts of things, when you feed the hungry, when you house the homeless, when you give clothing to the naked, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. All of the things that we've talked about with these spiritual disciplines, practicing righteousness, doing justice, fairness, equity, giving to the poor, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, praying, fasting, they go together. You don't really just get to pick your top two and say, I'm pretty good with prayer and I think I'll add fasting. That's going to draw me closer to God. But that whole helping with the poor and taking care of the less fortunate, that's not really my thing. All of these things go together. Your relationship with other people, your relationship to the disenfranchised and the marginalized, your relationship with the people who are hurting and suffering, and your relationship to God are inseparably linked. And for us to think that God will be pleased with us praying and fasting while not caring for the people in the world is to not learn the lessons that the prophets gave God's people all throughout history. It's to not learn what Jesus is all about. It's both. It's both praying and fasting and taking care of people that are hurting. In fact, when the people that have food, they choose not to eat, it should help us empathize with the hungry. This is what it feels like to be hungry. Remember when you were a kid and you'd run into the kitchen and the first thing you'd ask your mom was, is dinner ready? And she would say, not yet. And what's the next line? But I'm starving. And we'd always get that same answer back. And then when you became a parent, you started giving that same answer back. You don't even know what starving is. You don't even know what it is to be hungry. But that's true with me. I really don't know what it is to be hungry. But when you truly fast, when we fast pursuing the will of God, that it helps us to empathize with those that are hungry. Verse 10 of Isaiah 53 says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then God will hear you. Then God will listen to you. But if you're only fasting to satisfy your own desire, you may as well be eating. You may as well be gorging on food because you're gorging on attention, on the applause of other people. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and the hypocrites of Jesus' day were doing. They were pursuing and satisfying their own desires and appetite. And that's exactly what fasting is supposed to break. It's supposed to help us break our addiction to our appetites, to our own comfort, and to say, Father, you are more important. Fasting is a beneficial way. It's a beneficial spiritual discipline, but it only is when it comes from a heart that is truly desiring to do the Father's will. So here's how we might put it as we conclude here. Fast in pursuit of your Father's presence, of your Father's pleasure, and your Father's promises. Isn't that what Jesus promises on the Sermon on the Mount? He says, when you fast in secret, when you hide your fasting, when you do these spiritual disciplines in secret, not to be seen by others, but to be seen by your Father, that you will be seen by your Father, and there you will be rewarded. So again, it's not so much about the practice. It's not so much about the frequency or what should I fast from. If you want to fast from your phone or the TV or social media, again, technically, that's not fasting. But if you want to abstain from those things and pursue your Father, I'm confident that he will see you and he will reward you. Whatever we do, whether we fast for a day or an hour, whatever we do in fasting or in disciplining, in praying or giving, it needs to be in pursuit of our Father's presence, pleasure, and promises. I'm not telling you to take any medical risks if you have conditions. What I'm saying is that Jesus is saying is that fasting has always been a voluntary thing that God's people have done since the very beginning of God's covenant with his people. Different durations, different times, different frequencies, but God's people have always spent time in prayer and fasting. But when you fast, do it to pursue your Father's presence, pleasure, and promises. It's a joy that we can spend time in doing these disciplines. But Jesus says you have to work on your relationship with your Father who is in secret. And as we often say, we are in this together. As you work on your relationship with the Father, and as I work on my relationship with my Father, we recognize that it is the same Father. He is our Father in heaven, and we are family. We struggle together, and we pray together, and we love together, and we bear each other's burdens. If you're struggling or you're hurting, let us pray with and for you. In fact, I want us to be the kind of family, and I think that we are, where if you called and you said, I have something so heavy and so burdensome that I think I need you to pray and maybe even fast with me, that we would do that for that person, that we would pray and fast with you, not to get our Father's attention, but because we know that we already have it. And to draw even closer to God and to bring each other's prayers, requests before him. Maybe we can do that for you this morning. Maybe, though, this morning you are needing to put Christ on in baptism. You've never become a Christian. We urge you to make that decision, too. It may be to help you in your prayer life. We're in this together. Please come as together we stand and we sing.